Okay, let's kick it off. Let's do it. Instead of saying let's do it 50 times in a row, I should just do it, right? Okay, here we go. Oh, I'm out of breath. Raising consciousness and awakening mankind. This is End of Days Radio. Hello, everybody. Welcome to End of Days Radio. This is your host, Daniel, coming all the way to you from the shimmering Emerald City in the heart of the Pacific Northwest. Tonight's guest, or I'm sorry, this afternoon's guest, I forgot what time it is. I'm kind of floating around in a haze because I'm pumping out so many of these badass shows. Our guest today is Terrell Croft. Terrell Croft is the lead researcher for the Project Black Star investigation, now in the seventh year. He has identified key patterns in the seismic patterns and magnetic North Pole migration patterns pointing to a gravitational slash magnetic anomaly moving through the inner solar system, best characterized as the collapsed, invisible remnant remains of our sun's binary twin that went supernova millions of years ago. That was a mouthful. He has invested the last 6 years running the Project Black Star investigation, tracking the black star through the Leo and Virgo, and now in the center of the Libra constellation using a unique method that combines a combination of Earth change and magnetic pole migration patterns. Right now, his goal is to help as many people wake up concerning the need to prepare for what is coming from space. Okay, this show is going to be about this black star, and I'm going to dial up our guest right now. So please bear with me. Hello.
Hello.
Is this Terrell?
Yes, this is Daniel.
This is him. How are you doing this afternoon, sir?
Doing pretty good. How are you?
I'm doing good. I'm really excited to talk to you. What I like to do to start off, just so that my listeners can get a little bit of an idea of who you are and where you're coming from, would you mind telling us a little bit about your background and what got you interested in the subject matter?
Okay. My father's side is a family of ministers, and my interest in scripture is, if you go to terrell03.com, down in the bottom left section, you'll see there's a lot of videos on God's wisdom hidden in plain sight. That's my life's work down there. And then after that book was written, The Mystery Explained, you can get the PDF version there at terrell03.com. Then it was placed upon my heart to research 9/11, what really happened 9/11. That took about 5 years. And then wrote that book, The 9/11 Truth, Exposing the Cheney Rumsfeld Black Operation. So I'm a researcher. And after completing that book, one of my gifts is keyword analysis, analyzing documentation, recognizing patterns, keywords, and things like that. And after doing that with scripture, and then with the 9/11 Commission Report, Arlington County After Action Report, all the related documentation that helped find the truth, then information after that book was written, then the stories came out about Elonin, the discovery of the Elonin comet. Elonin backwards is 9/11. The perihelion date, the date that this comet was discovered, December 10th, 2010, right after my book was finished, the second book. Then the keywording of the PSYOP, this was obviously a PSYOP put out by the lettered agencies, it grabbed my attention. So I joined a couple of astronomy research groups, want to know more about astronomy, get myself a better background, and then ran across the work of Mincer Amrabasic. He connected the Elenin comet to a seismic pattern going back to 1965 in his book.
So you're not only into astronomy, but also 9/11 and also mind control. Sounds like you're the perfect type of guest for End of Days Radio.
Absolutely, yeah, on a wide range of topics too. I've looked a little bit of your information in this. A lot of the information, artificial intelligence, and the Rothschild ownership of the world, the Underground Ark City program, how chemtrails ties in with that, HARP, the HARP carrier wave that they maintain around the planet, nanobots that they have inside of our body introduced through chemtrailing, real-world simulations connected to the Denver airport, the Underground Ark facility there that's owned by the House of Rothschild, run by the Council on Foreign Relations Working Groups. And we're all part of that. We're all part of that real-world simulation. And so it's kind of a deep topic to try to get into. I think the focus of our investigation or our interview today is going to be on Project Black Star. So I encourage people to Google Project Black Star. You can get a copy of the original document from the CIT Boys, Citizens Investigation Team, who is a lettered agency operation. But you can get a hold of it and read the operations section about Project Black Star, and you'll get an idea. That document was sent to me by Jim Mars from Fort Worth, Texas. He was interviewed on several of my radio shows. I was interviewed on his radio show. And he sent me that document for vetting, and then that's where I ran across. We were tracking a heavy mass object using the Earth changes. We've been doing that since 2011. And then when I ran across that document, I realized Project Black Star is what we're involved in. It's very complicated. That's where Jade Helm 15 comes in and Cascadia Rising exercises. These are a series of exercises that are taking place part of a larger plan under Project Black Star umbrella, because the elite know. They know that destruction is coming, that it's going to be sudden, and that's what they're preparing for, in their underground arc cities and things like that. So what I do is at TerraLo3.com is try to wake people up, and we have a weekly newsletter that goes out. People can subscribe to that at TerraLo3.com. It's only $25 per year. And then if you want to be part of the survival group program, we have survival group programs now going in about a dozen countries around the world. And you get your threat assessment information and get connected to the survival group program. That's an extra $20, so $45 per year is all that is too. And then if you're in the United States, you'll be working with about 200 families now working in the Ozark survival group program.
I am a little bit curious about 9/11 in particular. I've had several guests talk about it. Do you happen to know how they took the towers down? Was it explosives? Was it planes like they said it was? Was it something else possibly?
The Twin Towers were built by the family of Osama bin Laden. They were the general contractors. Marvin Bush was the security, chief of security there. And the buildings were they were pre-demolition charges is what brought them down, in combination with the cutter charges, the thermite cutter charges that were installed after the fact. The pyrotechnic charges that there were actually not planes involved with that. The pyrotechnic charges were installed by the 51-man Israeli spying team that Ashcroft gave the exit visas for the day after the 9/11 attacks. That's what made the explosions. Those floors were the same floors that supposedly needed the fireproofing for upgrading for the new insurance policy that was going to pay off Silverstein and his comrades lots and lots of money. So that was all part of a gigantic scam. So they were taken down by controlled demolition, definitely. And World Trade Center 7, perfect evidence. It fell 70 feet from its footprint in 6.6 seconds. And obviously cutter charges were used to it's impossible to melt steel using kerosene. That's all jet fuel is kerosene. It's impossible. It just doesn't get hot enough. And even so, we've never had a steel frame building burn down in recorded history because it's impossible. The network, the frame itself, disperses the heat throughout the entire network. So you'd have to heat up the entire network in order to, and that's impossible. So it has nothing, what brought down the Twin Towers is has nothing to do with planes or anything like that. It's definitely a controlled demolition, but people take their eye off the ball. The ball that you want to really watch is what happened at the Pentagon. The Pentagon is where your eyes should be focused. New York was a ruse to take your eye off of what they were really doing. The black operation actually took place at the Pentagon. It was actually attacked at 9:31:39, and it was hit by a Hughes Raytheon hypersonic missile. First off, the A-3 Sky Warrior that was refitted at Fort Collins Loveland Airport was supposed to crash at 9:31:39 at the same time, and it was supposed to bring the E-ring roof down. The E-ring roof didn't fall down until 10:15:16 exactly. We have the news report. We have the timestamp news report when exactly when it fell. So the what happened was it was a botched plan. The A-3 Sky Warrior, the refitted one, flew over the E-ring roof. It made a 4-minute and 48-second circular turn to the north, reported by lots of people. Citizens Investigation Team actually did a good job of gathering the information on all those reports that saw what looked like a 77. It was actually part of the Global Guardian War Games. Kind of a complicated story. Global Guardian War Games put out by the Joint Chiefs in there were five war games going on that we know about at the time, and the Joint Chiefs are the ones that actually flew the refitted A-3 Sky Warrior from off the coast, off an aircraft carrier. It buzzed the New York Theater, flew south over the White House. It made a 2-mile descent in about a minute, made a right-hand turn, and it made the 45-degree angle that was required, and it came right across Route 27 there, right the Citgo station, and at the 45-degree angle. The reason for the 45-degree angle is because the columns are set up inside like a checkerboard on 10-foot by 10-foot centers. So they had a death corridor there that I call it the Column 14 death corridor. If you read my book, it'll make perfect sense because Wedge 1 was just refitted, and that's where they put the people that were looking for the $2.3 trillion. You guys should know about that. They were up in the Army section in the front. The Navy section was hit second, and the second submunition bombland exploded right inside of the strong room, inside of Navy command there. And that's where the Navy commanders were assembled because they were asked by the Lieutenant Governor of New York. See, he called right after the first attack. That got the commanders running to the command center, and that's whenever Cheney and Rumsfeld launched the attack on the Pentagon, taking these commanders out of the picture. They also killed seven of the defense intelligence officers with the third submunition bombardment. The hole in the rear C-ring wall, the hole, the mysterious wall, it came from a submunition bomblet. There was no Flight 77 or anything like that. If you read my book, you'll see the actual pages where the screenshots were taken from the AA records at the time. AA 77 was a consolidated flight along with a lot of other flights. There was no pilot. There was no crew. There was no anything. The tail number, N644AA, is the registry number, is not an actual registry number. See, these numbers are married from the time change parts. They change according to their maintenance schedule, and two logbooks are kept on them. Well, that N644AA doesn't designate a date like all the others because this tail number came from the Global Guardian War Games, and it was all inserted by the lettered agencies working with American Airlines, part of the large conspiracy. So they all those details and lots of others, the conspiracy of the Arlington County Fire Department and the state police, their barracks were used as a command center. And the if you look at the timelines, which is one of my pet peeves, timelines exactly to the second, then you'll see that in the 9/11 Commission report, Flight 93 was said to crash at 10:03:11 exactly to the second, five different from seismic readings and everything. If you go read the Arlington County After Action Report, page 200, it says that the same event happened at 10:37. These are both sworn documents by our government officials, and they obviously both can't be right. Also, the FAA timeline says that the Pentagon was struck at 9:32 a.m. It actually happened at 9:31:39. But the Arlington County After Action Report says that happened at 9:46. It's been a while since I've done this research. 9:46:57. So it's something like that. It's about 6 minutes later. So we have missing 6 minutes in there from the official government documentation. If you Google the government documentation proves 9/11 is an inside job, you can read my post online. And the evidence stacked against Cheney and Rumsfeld, it's definitely an inside job. According to our own documentation, it's an inside job. Everybody's lying. when everybody's lying, then you cannot get the same answer. The timelines, the sworn documentation proves that they're liars, but it also proves that the Justice Department actually wrote the Alden County After Action Report, and the two key engines are not even mentioned in the report. So the logs are going to if we had access to that information, it would prove multiple explosions. The reason is because Cheney and Rumsfeld couldn't get the E-ring roof to fall down. It took them 45 minutes using controlled demolition after the Pentagon was originally attacked. I mean, that's how terrible this investigation of the 9/11 attacks really are. So I was very fortunate to interview the taxi driver, Lloyd England, and he was a witness along with a couple other people. Terry Cohen was another one, a perfect witness. She was in one of those construction trailers right outside the Pentagon when the attack happened, right instantly. She was only a few yards away from the hole. They just started their meeting. They just sat down. And whenever the ceiling tiles came out of the roof, they ran out. They got their hard hats and they ran outside. They looked in the hole. There wasn't any fire. There was no fire at all. There was just a little hole at column line 14. It was 4 minutes and 48 seconds later that happened. And at the same time, Lloyd England is out in the middle of Route 27, right across, looking down on the Pentagon. He could see everything. And the entire road, the southbound lane, was cleared because the president was supposed to land there. So they had everything blocked off. He was the last car that they let in. That's why when you look at the pictures, you'll see that there's empty road on his side. The other side was backed up. So whenever he turns and he's getting ready to go across the overpass, light pole flying through the air, goes shish kebabs right into his windshield. Boom. Didn't even scratch the hood. It was struck by the A3 Skywarrior that had come through at that time. So he's out there. This guy's 69 years old. He's wrestling with this light pole, this big aluminum light pole, can't get it out. This guy in a white van jumps across the median. It's a concrete medium there. The traffic is standing still, so he jumps out, helps the old fella. They're grabbing hold of the pole. They're pulling it out. They're just getting ready to set it down. Here comes the A3 Skywarrior right behind him, loud as can be. Smashes against the side of the E-ring wall there. Makes fire all the way across the E-ring wall. That's what really happened at 9/11, but you're never going to hear the truth about it, exactly what happened, because the 9/11 movement is run by the lettered agencies. The Dylan Averys, the Richard Gages, they work for the State Department, and they're digging rabbit holes everywhere. They're never going to get to the truth. Nobody's ever going to be held accountable for what happened. And I've tried and tried for 5 years to inform everybody, and worked with the Center for – what's the name of it? It's been a while since I've done that research. The Center for 9/11 Justice, working with April Gallup, interviewed her. She walked right out of the hole at the beginning. She walked right out of that hole. She was knocked unconscious by the original missile strike, and then she was woke up by the second. And she was right behind column line 6. If you read my book, then you'll know what all that means. It was impossible for her to live if it was really hit by an airliner. So definitely an airliner did not hit that, the Pentagon, just according to the damage. It's only 200 feet from the E-ring wall to the C-ring wall. The jetliner, they said, it's going 530 miles an hour. It weighs 100 tons. The engines weigh 6 tons each. They're made out of titanium. And those guys going 530 miles an hour would have ricocheted past the White House if it was real, but it wasn't. It didn't even make it to the B-ring wall, which is only about 240 feet away from the E-ring wall. So if you read my book, if you want to know what the truth is, then you can get it for free online. Just go to the 9/11 section at terralo3.com and click on it. And if you can't read the whole book, it's a giant book. But read chapter 11. You'll have the top 100 events in chronological order, some of them separated by a hundredth of a second, exactly what happened. And a lot of there's activated links there in the PDF version. But a lot of the lettered agencies go around and they go behind and they clean all that stuff off the internet, making it very difficult. So go to archives.org and try to dig up the information for running your own investigation. You'll see that everything that I'm saying there is true. It was examined by Jim Mars and by Dick Eastman. And they said it's the best work that they've ever seen on the 9/11 attack.
Awesome. That's really cool of you to give that information for free. How do my listeners get a hold of that again?
TERRAL03.com. You don't need the www. Bottom section, scripture, God's wisdom hidden in plain sight, three witnesses of his living word, spirit, blood, and water. The cipher for breaking God's code is in Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. That is the cipher for breaking God's code. Spirit, blood, and water witnesses are right there. When you stand them up, they're a man with a spirit, soul, and a body. Those are throughout the entire Bible. There's charts inside the book to show you, to help you to wake up, to see that part. Then the 9/11 truth is above that, the truth about what really happened on 9/11. And then the third section, and that'll be the final section. This is going to end here with Project Black Star. Then that's the top section. That book's not written yet. The way you get that information is through the weekly newsletter program. If you go to my YouTube channel, Terrell Black Star, that you can get every newsletter for free, that everything that you can get for free. So whenever you want me to be your threat assessment analyst, you want me to be your mentor, you want me to be your tutor in Christ, you want to send me emails, you want to exchange, then that's $25 per year. And if you want threat assessment information, show you what a real safe zone is for the calamity, the destruction that's coming, you want to be in a safe zone, and then you're going to want to be in an underground location. That's how you get connected to the Ozark Survival Group program if you're in the United States. If you're in Europe, you're going to be – your safe zone is in Spain, and we have survivor groups in Australia and New Zealand and even South Africa and in India now we have one started too. That's pretty much the program at terrell03.com. Tons of free stuff there. You can read there, watch videos and read there for a very long time. Just when you want more, you want to support the research, then there's buttons there to do that.
And earlier you mentioned something about keywords. That sounds really interesting. Is this some kind of mind control, some kind of Nazi propaganda stuff?
We do these things all the time. Everyone does it. We use the same patterns. The way, what helped me to determine the operatives and the assets, the 9/11, and during the 9/11 attacks, to know who the handlers were and stuff, then the assets are going to use phrases of their handler. And when if you're aware of these things, then it's pretty easy to pick out. Most people aren't aware that we do these things unconsciously. So in the documentation, well, the way scripture's written, God did it. God put the word faith in certain books, and in some places it exists nowhere at all. Grace, the same way. Keywords, righteousness, keywords. God uses them in certain places and never in other places because there's a hidden meaning that God is showing you. People sometimes want to make God into a simpleton, but he is extremely complex. He communicates to his sons in many different ways, many different levels, and one of the ways is through this use of language. So that this is what was picked up on in scripture, and then that gift was honed in with the 9/11 attacks. By the time the Project Black Star investigation came, then those skills were refined. And once you can recognize the disinformation that's being sent out, the desensitizing information by the lettered agencies, you see a rhythm and a cadence and a pattern in their speech, in the terms that they use, particularly in the terms that they will never use that are absent from there. For example, in the 9/11 Commission report and in the Arlington County After Action report, both documents, the term explosions is used exactly zero times. Never. Not even one time. But if you go Google the videos, you'll hear about explosions many, many times. Google it. You'll get a million probably hits because the firemen and everybody else reported, the policemen reported explosions. The singular term explosion was used in the after action the Arlington County After Action Report exactly six times, and they all were fake. They had to do with the fake time and the fake AA-77 crash when we know that AA-77 never even left the ground. Same thing with the 9/11 Commission Report. The word explosion is used singularly six times, exactly six times. So that's these kind of patterns that my mind kind of latches onto that is a help for discovering the true intention, and what's going on with the document that I'm examining and how it fits into the larger picture. And what I'm seeing here is a pattern with the Nibiru movement. The Nibiru movement, the Planet X movement, is just like the 9/11 movement. What they're doing is they're filling the airwaves with all this disinformation in order to control a false narrative. series of false narratives. So nobody can really wake up to what's really happening all around them. And they're being very successful about it. So the hate to drop names, but I'm going to drop some names.
No, go ahead. I love dropping names.
Yeah. The first radio show I ever did was March 3rd, 2011 with Marshall Masters. And that was after doing an hour and a half of pre-production over the weekend. So I'm real familiar with this program. Guy's a genius. He's real smart. I mimicked my program kind of after his. But the since I outgrew his investigation, and Mincer Armor Bosich, the way he was twisting his arm, and then the complaints that I made, then that got me booted out of his program. And so now in my possession is a ton of science. We're talking magnetopause reversal pattern, a new Chandler wobble pattern. It had a big shift in 2005. You can Google dramatic shift, Chandler wobble, 2005. So when it happened, 180-degree phase shift is very significant. The some of the language there is going to try to poo-poo that, but it's a big deal. The Schumann resonance change, the frequency of our planet, the heartbeat of our planet changed June of 2004, just before that. There's a series of changes taking place that are around here, but these people do not want to talk about any of these things. The seismic pattern that I've been tracking now since and we're able to go backwards in time too now that we have the baseline data, then that's on a 377-day cycle. Add 12 days to each calendar year, and it's going to give you the method that I'm using to make predictions. Like Fukushima, we predicted within 4 days. Guerrero the next year within 2 days. Now we're able to make these predictions with pretty good accuracy. The one that's scheduled now, we have multiple models going, but it's we're either going to have it on May the 20th with a geological pole shift, according to the inferior modeling, or it's going to be in May of 2018. But the point is, with the disinformation program, there's a lot of major discoveries that my investigation has made that's being poo-pooed by NASA, the USGS, and everybody in the fake Planet X movement. They will not even return my emails. They're not going to talk to me or anything like that. One of them is that this Chandler wobble is a circular rotation of our magnetic North Pole. It is circling upon itself in the same place. They're talking like that it's migrating towards Siberia and all this stuff. That's not true. The data is in this newsletter that I just gave you. I hope you'll share it with your people. And it has a 377-day pattern. So it's trailing its previous year's position by 12 degrees. And it's been doing that for the last 10 months. And in some places on the chart, it's been doing it for the last 3 years. The reason is because the traditional modeling from the geologist that tracks these magnetic pole flips, these are geomagnetic pole flips of where the north and south pole switch. That's the modeling that they're trying to use, but that's not what's happening. What's happening is we have another magnet in the solar system, a celestial object. The magnetic gravitational anomaly that we've been tracking through Leo and Virgo and now into the Libra constellation. We know where it is, but we also know that we cannot see it. It's microlensing. It's likely only a couple of kilometers in diameter, but it is the binary twin to our sun. It's the remnant body after the that's what it appears to be. And as it's moving left in the orbit diagram, it's moving 12 degrees per year, which is impossible for an object on elliptical orbit traditionally. In other words, a comet coming in from far away on elliptical orbit, it's impossible for it to create any kind of a regular seismic pattern. You need an object like Saturn, for example. Saturn creates a natural 189-day cycle because Earth is going to go around in its orbit 13 extra days each year in order to catch up with it. It's going to move 13 degrees. Jupiter is going to move 30 degrees. See, these are known deals from circular with objects that have a circular orbit around the sun. This black star has a magnetic repulsion relationship with our sun. So as it's coming in, it is being repelled by the sun at the same time. As the gravitational...
So basically, they're holding each other in orbit.
The black star is slowing down as it's coming closer. Mm-hmm. That's what's making it difficult, and that's what's created the 188-day cycle. The 188-day cycle you get by dividing your 377 in half. So that gives us near-side alignment quake events, like, for example, Fukushima on March 11, 2011, then Guerrero the next year on March 20, 2012. And before that, the 8.8 Chile quake, February 27, 2010. Whenever we take this, we use Chile as a central point, we go backwards, and we add this 12 days that I told you about, we get to Sumatra, 2004, December 26th. when we go forward, we have another predicted event that was April 25th, 2015, 7.8 Nepal. That was predicted in advance too. The most recent event took place in New Zealand. That was in the backside alignment. See, we have near-side alignment quake events and backside alignment quake events. So that's what makes a 180-day cycle when you divide your 377 in half. The most recent one came on the exact predicted date, November the 14th, 2016. And that's exactly 188 days from May the 20th, 2017. And this magnetic North Pole migration model says that the Earth is going to be susceptible. This is what the modeling says with a 25% accuracy. I'm not saying this is going to happen. It's a 75% chance that it's going to be 2018, but 25% chance according to this model. It says that Earth will be vulnerable to a magnetically induced geological pole shift. So if you go to poleshift.com, you can see what that means. It means that Earth metals, they're embedded in Earth crust. They're going to be pushed by this black star. Even though it's very, very small, if it gets close enough to us, it can wrestle Earth magnetic polarity control from the sun and tip Earth over. It's going to repel the magnetic North Pole. There's a magnetic conflict. So then the Earth gets tipped over because the metals are following the laws of gravity, the laws of magnetism. The water on the planet is going 1,000 miles per hour, and it follows the laws of gravity. So the water, what that geological pole shift does is it causes the ocean waters to crawl upon the land in some places for hundreds of miles. So we have a safe zone map that your people, if you Google Planet X News and Terrell's Safe Zone map, you'll be able to look at it, and then you'll see the green area, and then you're going to want to be in a safe zone when this happens. It's going to be the month of May, in the transition from the second to the third week in May, whenever there's a 25% chance that it can happen on this cycle. You're going to want to be in a safe zone.
Okay? In the past, I've read about this polar shift, and it turns out that there's all kinds of ancient records that this might have happened before or did happen before.
Absolutely. It has happened before, and it's going to happen again. The thing to realize is it doesn't happen every time. The reason is because the Earth has 365 different places to be when the black star crosses Earth orbit path. So imagine that our solar system is like a giant roulette wheel. Earth travels 1.6 million miles every day. So there's a peg at the end of each day, 365 places to be. Now, if we're in the May 20 position, that's between the Earth and the Libra constellation, the left side of Libra. And if we're there when it crosses Earth orbit path, then we're in the wrong place at the wrong time. This black star, even though it's small, it's getting stronger magnetically as it's electromagnetically too. As it's getting closer to the sun, that's why the sun appears to be going to sleep right now. That's why the heliosphere that surrounds our solar system has shrunk 25% in the last 10 years, because this star has an unusual, unique relationship with our sun. It's connected to our sun through a magnetic portal connection, and as it gets closer, a higher percentage of those internal conduits are becoming active. So the sun is supposed to be, supposedly, we had a double peak in solar cycle 24 in 2015, all right? That's not that long ago. We shouldn't be at solar minimum yet. But the big flatline came in 2011. The radio flux, the X-ray flux values down one-third of what they should be. They expected solar cycle 24 to be higher than 23, but all that went away, and it's because of black star near proximity. So this black star, and there's lots of other evidence. A little bit of the evidence, the best evidence is we predicted the Guerrero quake that I mentioned earlier within 2 days. 8 days before that, we had the magnetopause reversal. So what happens is, and this is not caused by direct black star radiation. This is caused by magnetic portal connection convergence. So if you want to know more about that, go to my website. There's a link. You'll have NASA links in the description box to my video on magnetic portal connections. So what happens is like the sun is connected to the Earth. The sun is connected to the Earth through a magnetic portal connection. It connects and disconnects on 8-minute cycles. We're pulling that around with us. Now, as we're passing between the sun and the black star, we're pulling the sun, the Earth. This is a little complicated. The Sun-Earth magnetic portal connection, we're pulling the black star-Earth magnetic portal connection, and we're pulling it across a star-to-star connection. these magnetic portal connections are converging. And whenever they do, they get close enough, they're like electric wires. They start firing back and forth on one another. When that happens, you have the creation of highly charged ionic clouds. When these clouds are formed and they're squeezed between these connections, they're given direction. They're pushed towards the sun. Now, on March the 12th, 2012, there was a mysterious dust cloud formation. You can Google it. On Mars. Mars was directly behind Earth on that day, March 12th, 2012. It started on the nighttime side from the same subatomic particle flows that caused Earth's magnetosphere to turn around for the bow shock to face the Leo constellation for 28 hours. For 28 hours, the bow shock that should be compressed by the solar wind. It's always supposed to be between the daytime side of our planet and the sun, always, as we're going around the sun. For 28 hours, that bow shock was on the nighttime side of our planet because the subatomic particle flows coming from the Leo constellation at the time were greater than the solar wind for 28 hours. That happened again on April the 23rd, 2016, and we predicted that it would happen. Mars, every 4 years, has a relationship with the Earth that it's in a similar position every 4 years because of our orbit cycles. Mars was in a perfect place. Their Martian dust storm should not have peaked until October, and they had the storm starting in April that wasn't supposed to happen. And we predicted that it was going to happen because Mars and the Earth were very close to the black star. And we had the same phenomenon happen. We had our near side limit quake event on April the 28th. We had the magnetopause reversal on April the 23rd, 5 days before. So that went from 8 days in 2012 to 5 days because of the differences in the magnetic portal connection angles. So this stuff has been figured out by my researchers, by myself as the key analyst. And we know that this object is there, and we are making preparations for that. And it's in the scriptures. Also,
is this called wormwood in the scriptures?
The wormwood is going to be Revelation, and that what Jesus Christ explains in Matthew 24. He's quoting from Joel 2. Joel sees what's going to happen at the end of the age. Christ is describing. If you go to Matthew 24, look at verse 3. They ask him a question regarding what happens at the end of the age. Christ is talking about what happens at the end of the age. This is not the end of the age. The black star is going to go away after this, and it's going to return. When it returns in about 3,600 years, if that's the date, it doesn't matter if it's 3,600 or 2,600, whatever it is, Christ's prophecies are going to be fulfilled. See, here's the deal. Christ says that the sun is going to turn dark. He says that the moon's not going to give forth its light, and there's going to be signs in the stars. The signs in the stars are from the earth tilting. So they're no longer going east to west. They're going to be going north and south. But here's the deal. There are two kinds of crossing events. The first one, the first opportunity happens in the spring. We know where it came from, Gemini. We know its perihelion is in Sagittarius. We know where it's coming and we know where it's going. We know where it's going to cross Earth orbit path, the May 20th position. And we know where it exits too. Okay, now here's the deal. Whenever the Earth is in the wrong place at the wrong time in the springtime, this crossing event, this geological pole shift, happens suddenly. The sun doesn't turn dark yet because the black star hasn't reached perihelion yet. It doesn't reach perihelion until it reaches Venus orbit path after it crosses Earth orbit path. Now, in the end of the age, what Christ is describing, what Joel is describing with the sun turning dark, it's going to turn dark on this cycle too, but not till after the shift. So we're not going to have the opportunity to see the sign because it's going to happen suddenly. The people living at the end of the age, they are going to see the signs happening. Thing is, all the members of the Bride of Christ are going to be already martyred. If you read, the Great Tribulation happens in verse 21. And then there's a reference to it in Revelation 7:14. Those are people, that the host, standing with Peter, John, and James on the Sea of Glass, standing before the Lamb, they're already dead. They're already in heaven. The people that are on the earth to face the black star and the collapse, the calamity, the chaos, it's going to be the sons of Satan at the end of the age. Just like they're looking down on us now from the heavenly places, we're going to be looking down on them from the heavenly places.
Oh, okay, so this would – sorry to cut you off, but this would have to do with the whole fact that a very deep inner circle of our government, as well as possibly the Vatican and other organizations, are admittedly Luciferians.
Well – yes. In my mind, the Great Delusion, the deluding influence of 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, start of verse 7. If you get down to verse 10, you're going to see that God is the one that sends the deluding influence, and it forces them to believe what is false, so they may not believe the truth. So these people, they believe that they're good guys. That's the same. That's the way. That's Satan's trickery. They think they're good guys. They think they're preserving posterity. They're going to go through the Georgia Guidestones agenda. They've got this all figured out. 500 million people. They've got the administration hubs already set up, the 12 states of the world. They've got the whole thing. The capital of Canamera, Mexico, over here is in Denver. That's where the Denver Underground Arc City is, connected to the Denver airport. That's where the CIA moved in 2005. The Council on Foreign Relations moved the New York Charter. The New York Charter opened the Denver Charter in 1938. That's how long they've been working on this project over there, this underground Ark City. They've got all this figured out, but they think they're good guys. But the deluding influence is telling them that. They're really serving Satan. You know that. I know that. But I'm not sure they know that. The deluding influence has them believing that they're the good guys and that we're the bad guys, and so that we deserve destruction for being so stupid.
Very nice of them.
the truth is all around us of what's happening. The earth changes are telling us. The earth is testifying. The planets are testifying. But the earth especially, it's testifying. That's the earth. That's the birth pangs of 1 Thessalonians 5, start of verse 1. The woman with child. The destruction will come suddenly like the birth pangs upon a woman with child. The earth is the one suffering the earth, the birth pangs. The child is the body of Christ that's about to be taken. If you go back to chapter 4, you'll see that we are taken before this sudden destruction happens. So in reality, the survival group program, the newsletter program wakes you up. The survival group program gives you a way to prepare. But the survival group program is for those that we leave behind. So it's a service that we are providing, and with the expectation that we're going to be taken, and then we reap the heavenly rewards for good deeds in the flesh, 2 Corinthians 5:10. Go ahead.
Now, one thing that comes to mind, because you've talked a little bit about there being, you didn't use these words exactly, but some sort of disinformation campaign, something focused around this Planet X. And my question to you is, since this has been going on all the way since Zechariah Sitchin and Nibiru and all of that, I've heard people come on this program and tell me that Zechariah Sitchin was some sort of agent. I've even had people accuse him of being an alien. How do you feel about that? Could he have been part of this whole Planet X sort of disinfo campaign?
Well, I believe that he was doing his work of being a researcher, and that others are using his work, like Robert Harrington, the supposedly killed for what he knew. His object was on the opposite side of the solar system as the Black Star. That there's no value to his research whatsoever for me or Sitchin's work. The only part of Sitchin's work that has any value is that there's a cycle. The Sumerians recorded that there was a cycle with this Nibiru thing, right? So if we get the same thing from Scripture. We go back to the days of Noah, the earth changes, the black star came. It's just the earth was in a different position when the black star came through, but they had the same signs. The days of Moses, the same thing. Black star comes again. The day stands still. We have the same. It's just the not exactly the same, because the earth was in a different orientation to the black star. So there's a record that shows that this is a reoccurring pattern in Scripture and in the work of from the Sumerian tablets. So from that perspective, Sitchin's work is valuable. But he had no way of tracking the black star like we do today. And same thing with Harrington. The seismic pattern had started before his death, but he really did not have a way to be able to track this object. Some of the disinformation, the Planet Nine stories is all disinformation, It's to make you feel like NASA's on the wall looking out there for something. This object that we're tracking is inside of Jupiter orbit path and likely inside of Mars orbit path. It's already real close. And they're looking out on the edges of the solar system. It's kind of like the illegal alien invasion in the United States. You got all these border patrols standing on the wall looking out into Mexico, and you got millions and millions and millions and millions of them working. Jobs all around him, right? It's the same kind of thing. It's false sense of security that NASA is trying to provide. Whenever their ability to warn the Americans that there's something coming from space went away in 2009 with the legislation, now it's under the auspices of the Department of Defense and the Department of Homeland Insecurity. So the keyframe data that's being mopped, wiped away, sanitized from the servers monitoring the sun, the magnetosphere, and things like that, is being done by the Department of Homeland Security. NASA could not even tell us if there was an asteroid coming that was going to strike the planet. I'm not worried about anything like that, but just saying that the environment has totally changed. So NASA and the USGS are puppet lettered agencies working under the Council on Foreign Relations Working Groups is what's really going on. Even the President of the United States over here in Washington is a puppet to the CIA and the Council on Foreign Relations Working Groups over in Denver. So the information that you're getting is kind of sanitized. The good part, people get on to me about using USGS data, but they are consistent liars. So I'm using the shape of the charts. So there's peaks and there's valleys. We know when the peaks are coming and the valleys are coming. We have that baseline data to be able to do that. But we also know that they are definitely lying. And the magnitudes of these quakes are higher than what they're really saying, and they're more frequent. It's about 30% sanitation from what we can tell. But when you're a consistent liar and you remove 30% of the data, it still gives you the same graphs, same charts. So that's the information that we're working with. Go ahead.
Okay. NASA in particular, it seems that they do in fact lie, just like you said. If you look at the pictures, you see things like airbrushing and things like that going on. It's gotten to the point where, because NASA lies to us so much, there's people out there who actually think the Earth is flat. Do you have any thoughts or perspectives on flat Earth?
Lettered agency disinformation program. They want to see the percentage of dupes that will swallow that, so they can devise their next PSYOP. It's a continuous program. The Earth is definitely, most definitely round. If you understand solar system mechanics, how this solar system was formed, then you realize that it was a dust cloud condensed into a disk. It started rotating. And that's why all the prograde means in the same direction. All these planets from the northern hemisphere are going around counterclockwise in the same direction. Prograde, because that is the way that the disk formed. And it creates spheres, like when you blow a bubble. It's round. It's a law of economy at work. But in 3 BC, this was proven, because these very smart men, they took these poles of the same length, and they took measurements on dates, and they measured the shadows, and they were different depending on if you were closer to the equator or not. And they knew that in 3 BC. And then Christopher Columbus had to remind everybody in 1492, and by going west to go east, they discovered the Americas. And that's why Indians are called Indians, by the way. It's because he thought he was in India. So anyway, the world is definitely round. And if you make observations of every other planet that's out there, you're going to see they're round too. And they're orbiting the sun. And they're going in a circle in prograde fashion. They're all rotating in the same direction, except for Venus. Venus is the oddball. It has a reverse rotation. And the reason is because it is very near black star perihelion position. And that means it's in the wrong place at the wrong time with a high percentage of the time. So it's not that it was brought in from outer space somewhere else. It's the fact that it gets messed with by the black star regularly, unfortunately for Venus. So definitely round Earth. And if my saying is, if you can swallow the flat Earth stuff, then you're too far from the lifeboat to get a lifeline from me. If people want to believe that, then I just kind of let them go and believe that, and try to help the people that are closer to the boat, kind of thing.
Now, is it possible to observe anything related to the black star with a simple telescope?
We have an observatory class telescope, and we have an astronomer, and
that's a really big one. In other words,
and he knows how to use it, and we know where it is. We've known for a long time. We know when the observation windows are open. We know optimum position, optimum conditions, atmospheric, and we also know that we can't see it. Micro lensing, gravitational lensing effect is perfected in this thing. And it's likely only 2 to 3 kilometers in diameter, very small. But if it was right in front of you, you could not see it. This thing behaves more like a black hole than any known celestial object. The only difference is that it is an object that, instead of a singularity at the bottom of the gravity well. The gravity well is shaped almost identically. And in my mind, it has an event horizon. You have 3 or 4 physicists that have worked on the project, and there's disagreement among them whether it has an event horizon or not. But my own view that this thing changes space-time, It has a unique relationship with the sun. If you look at the evidence in scriptures, then people lived to be thousands of years old in the old days, and then that was shortened to 120, and then it was shortened to 70. I think that these changes have to do with this black star that's coming. And whenever it comes again and leaves, there's going to be a big change again. People are going to live to be over 1,000 years old again. So this is God's reset button, is what it is. And whenever the prophet that they're expecting, it's Acts 3, start at verse 21, this prophet, everybody's going to obey, heed his word or be destroyed. He comes with a black star. And the person that's going to give that testimony that's quoted by Peter and the Holy Spirit is Moses. Moses is another one of these witnesses that came with a black star, just like Noah. And it happens over and over and over again. And at the end of the age, the black star comes again for guess who? The two witnesses and Christ, the Son of Man at the end of the age. So when the black star comes, stuff happens. And this is God's reset button. And we are witnesses of how the day of the Lord is going to begin. The earth is going to be purified by water and fire. And it doesn't matter who dies. Elijah can raise the dead. His first miracle was to raise the dead. Christ turned water to wine. Elijah's first miracle is to raise the dead. It doesn't matter who dies, because Elijah can raise everybody up if he wants to and fix the earth and take it into the most glorious period that it's ever had. That's whenever all the scriptures of the prophets are going to be fulfilled. And that's what the 1,000 years means. The Greek idiom, as so long as it takes, is as 1,000 years. So that's what's coming now. The rapture happens before. I know you have a mix of denominations in your listeners, and you're likely going to have disagreements, but we're not going to agree to disagree. You can go to tarotlow3.com, and it's explained in my book, The Mystery Explained. Happy to answer questions, anything like that. Really don't care to debate anymore. Gave up trying to fix broken doctrine of others a long, long time ago. And dissecting and trisecting the Greek is not needed when you see the three witnesses of Scripture. When you see the three witnesses of spirit, blood, and water in Scripture, then you understand who a spirit witness is, who a blood witness is, and a water witness, and you understand all the testimony. Then you realize they're all testifying about one another. And then you begin hearing the angel song coming from the depths of the spirit of Scripture that is a man. It's a living thing, spirit, soul, and a body. And whenever you have that witness incarnate inside of your heart, then there's no more room for debate. You know where the truth, what the truth is. It's like knowing your way to the store. You don't need anybody to tell you anymore. You know the way. And I've seen it with my own eyes, and I know it. And it's in the book. Happy to share that with everybody. But the fact is that the day of the Lord is about to begin. This is how it starts. We're witnesses of it. And there's going to be no warning with the sun turning dark and everything. We're watching the sun get weak. We're watching it go to sleep almost. But whenever the destruction comes, it's going to come suddenly. It's going to come in the month of May for sure, either this year or the next, and is what the modeling says. So it's at the end of the age that there's going to be the fulfillment of Joel and Zechariah and Daniel and the things that Peter writes, 2 Peter, the destruction of the earth and all that, the new heaven and new earth, Revelation 21, all that happens after the black star comes on the next cycle. So we have plenty of time for that. Go ahead.
Could this be why the Vatican is spending so much money on telescopes, including the much talked about Lucifer telescope?
Yes. There's a lot of talk about that. The reason that it's at the South Pole is not what you think. The reason that they need a telescope at the South Pole is not to look down below the Earth, it's to look below the ecliptic plane. So the Earth bobs up and down above and below the ecliptic plane naturally as it orbits around the sun. Problem is, everything wants to be on the plane, and you have dust, debris. It creates a blind spot for people, particularly that live in the northern hemisphere, when you're looking directly across the plane. The black star is less than 1 degree in the southern hemisphere, dead in the center, shading a little bit left in the Libra constellation right now. But when you try to make observations from a ground-based telescope, you look through all that debris. When you put a telescope at the South Pole, and the Earth dips down when it's in the part of its orbit where it's below the plane, then you can look across the plane below that debris and get a better observation if you have a radio telescope, if you have the right equipment to be able to see the black star. My view, remember the first brown dwarf star was discovered in 1995. That's how recent that infrared technology has been used, that's useful. And nobody's going to see a black dwarf star, our solar system is not old enough for a white dwarf to transition to a brown, and then it takes a very, very long time for it to do that. But the body we're dealing with is not a naturally forming body. It was created by the supernova of our sun's binary twin. So when this happens, then it's you get an object, a remnant body that's kind of like a diamond. It started off as a lump of coal. And if you give it the right pressure, it can become a diamond, or it can remain a lump of coal, or something in between. So that's what our remnant body is. It is something between a magnetar-type neutron star and a black dwarf star, not naturally forming, but it has the features and characteristics of a something between a neutron-type star, non-rotating. If it had a high rotation like the typical neutron star, then we'd be able to tell. We would be able to make observations of the phenomenon taking place around it. It'd have to be during the implosion, something happened so that it was not it interrupted the rotation. So that in other words, that makes it more difficult to make observations of it too. So I do not expect to ever see any pictures of it. Like I said, it swallows light across the entire electromagnetic spectrum is the problem. And microlensing, gravitational lensing effect. So you see the stars in the distance. The light bends right around this gravity well. People visualize them as two-dimensional, like a valley, but in reality they're three-dimensional. And the light, the starlight from the distance, is you see it right through this phenomenon, so that you cannot even tell that it's there. There's the stars dance in the distance and things when microlensing is not perfected. So that's how they identify a lot of other objects, even behind the sun. They can see objects because of the gravity well, the way the light bends through. But with this particular object, that's going to be impossible to do. It's God's stuff. It's coming in. It is not going to be observed by anyone. That's why the destruction comes suddenly, like the birth pang upon a woman with child. The children of day can see it's coming with our spiritual eyes. I see it coming, not literally see it with my visible eyes, but through all the data. It's telling me, and it's been telling me for a long time, that this is where this object is. I know right where it is out in the Libra constellation. If Earth is coming around in orbit, so when you make observations of Jupiter and Saturn, look at the area right between them. That's where the black star is going to be relative to the sun. So in May, about the middle of May, when you look up and see Jupiter and Saturn, the black star, if you could see it, would be directly in between them, just much closer. Go ahead.
Another question, this one related to Revelation. Since you're somebody that has studied the subject matter, I wanted to get your perspective on this. This is a topic that I've been quite puzzled with, and I've heard many theories. In your opinion, what is the beast and what is the mark of the beast?
He that has wisdom, he will understand 666 is the number of a man. The 666 man that it's talking about is the three witnesses of Satan. Satan in the infinite realm is a singularity, one person. In heaven, he's three people, just like the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit are three people. He's three people. He's the dragon, he's the beast, and the false prophet. Spirit witness, blood witness, and water witness. Three into one. 666. Six is the number of man if you understand God's numerology. The spirit witness is the number one. The blood witnesses are number two. And the water witnesses are number three. So whenever you take 1 plus 2 plus 3, it equals 6. 6 is the number of man, because when you take the three witnesses and put them together, then that's the number 6. The 666 is a reference to the man that is going to be born at the end of the age, not today, at the end of the age, that is the son of the dragon is going to incarnate onto the earth. And then his son is going to come afterwards, obviously, and he's the one that is going to kill the Messiah in Daniel 9:26. And he's the one that's going to cut him off, part of the prophecy, this prince that's going to come. Then that's the 666 man that it's talking about, and there are actual diagrams of that in my book. There's 80 diagrams in there, and it shows the water witnesses. It starts off real simple, overlapping circles, spirit, blood, and water, and then it becomes more complex to let you see the big picture. Then you'll see you're going to see that the prophet Elijah and Christ and Moses standing on the Mount of Transfiguration are three, too, spirit, blood, and water. Christ in the middle is the blood witness. He's the Lord God who made his two witnesses in the garden. And then you can start putting it together that Elijah and Moses are skins for your father Adam and your mother Eve. So those are the two olive trees from Zechariah chapter 4, start at verse 11 through 14. Who are these two olive trees? The lampstands in heaven, candles, the candlesticks of when they're in heaven, and they're olive trees while they're on the earth. These are the ones that come with the black star. So Moses and coming and Noah coming, these are skins for your mother Eve. There are skins for Adam and there are skins for Eve. That's described in my book too. For example, Abraham and Sarah. These are the two witnesses that came. And David and Bathsheba. David looking over into the pool is the earth. He's the heavens looking over into the pool, which is the earth, and joining with Bathsheba to create heaven in Genesis, back in Genesis 1, 6 to 8. And then their seed that was begotten from that was Solomon and the line of kings, things like that. So there's equations from once you can see the spirit, blood, and water witnesses, then you can begin making equations out of the scriptures, out of the passages, and then come to a deeper understanding of what God's really trying to show us, and then connect some of those dots. So the 666 man, there's a 777 man too. He's standing on the Mount of Transfiguration, and it's one person, it's one man put together as spirit, soul, and body. The first and the last being first is what they were talking about there. And the first is Adam and Eve and the Lord in the garden. The last is going to be this glory that they're standing in. Elijah, representative of all the angels, and Moses, representative of all the men. So that's why that there was so much dispute about the body of Moses, because the body of Moses is what's being taken and put on one side on the sea of glass, while the angels are on the other half. Those two halves have to be married together to become members of the Lamb at the marriage supper of the Lamb. Back to Revelation 19, start at verse 5. So myself can visualize this stuff after working on the scriptures for so long and seeing the equations and things like that. And people can get more information on that in my book, The Mystery Explained. Go ahead.
How about the Antichrist?
Then, see, here's the deal. A lot of people have the most difficult verses for the members of Christ's body to interpret in the entire Bible are in the Pauline epistle, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, start at verse 2. Or you can go 1 through 7. Very difficult. See, the problem is Paul has already met with these people personally. He's writing an addendum. So he's filling in the blanks for something he's already told them. He's already told them what's going to happen at the end of the age when the dragon comes, the beast comes, and all. He's already told them all that. We are taken at the beginning of the day of the Lord. He's telling them events that's going to happen at the end of the age. That's what he's describing there. People get that confused. So here's the deal. We are members of Christ's body when we obey the gospel. We become members of Christ's body according to the mystery of Christ. We're baptized into his body. There's an antithesis doctrine, the mystery of iniquity. That's what 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 is about. Start at verse 7. The mystery of iniquity, the mystery of lawlessness, depending on your interpretation or of your translation. Whenever people reject the gospel, whenever they believe false gospels, then they are baptized into the body of the Antichrist to become a member of his body right now, for the Antichrist to become incarnate in their hearts, in their souls, just like Christ is incarnate inside of me. The Antichrist has been here since Paul's day. He's adding members to his body right now. You see, you got the Rothschilds, you got the Rockefellers, now Gates, their eugenics program. They're destroying the earth. These are the members of the Antichrist body. They are all around us. The Antichrist is already here. He's already in their hearts of the deceived, and nobody can get them out. They're deluded indeed, right? So whenever there's a rapture, according to the mystery of Christ, there's an anti-rapture too. The bad guys are taken too at the same time. They're already in the lake of fire right now, the same way that we're seated in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. That's Ephesians 2, start at 4. Right now, we're already there. We're waiting for this earth to catch up to heaven. On earth as it is in heaven, because it's already happened in heaven, all this stuff. The battle with the dragon is underway at this moment. It began very, very long time ago, but it's because of the time differential. The hosts of heaven are almost infinite. They're like constellations from our perspective. The dragon's head's already been cut off, but it hasn't hit the ground yet. We're within that frozen moment of heaven, moving very, very slowly. And as the dragon's falling, his tail is falling across the sky. And as it is, those stars are incarnating down into this realm too. This is their last moment, because the dragon is fallen. He is going to be judged here and thrown into the lake of fire. But you see, the dragon's head's not finally severed and everything done until the end of the age. 3,600 more years must pass here before the time here catches up to there to fulfill what's all the way back in Ecclesiastes 1, start at 9, that we've already done these things all before. We've actually done them twice before, in the infinite realm where we're gods, and in heaven where we are heavenly hosts, battling with Michael the Archangel right now. We're in the middle of a battle right now. We're incarnate here on the earth. This is our third. Infinite realm, heaven, and this earth realm, three that are one. And we're the last, and we're also the first, because we're the gods from the infinite realm. But the Antichrist is already here. The people that are looking for him to appear are going to be deceived. They're looking at the end of age. That's the problem with the professing Bible prophecy experts. They do not recognize the blood ministry of Jesus Christ and the water ministry of Jesus Christ. 1 John 5, start at 6. Their blood ministry part is Paul's gospel, the word of the cross gospel message. We're saved by Christ's blood. It's through his blood that we have redemption. And that's the gospel, that he's the Son of God and God raised him the third day. That's the gospel. That's it. What they do is they take the gospel, the kingdom, for the bride of Christ, the water baptism, the repentance, and all these works and all this other stuff, and they put it all together, and they create a false gospel. And then they're baptized in the body of the Antichrist, running around thinking they're Christians, looking for the Antichrist when he's incarnate inside of them. I know.
That's really interesting. That's really interesting because so many people seem to think the Antichrist, just like you said, he's going to be this blonde, curly-headed Greek or Roman type.
He's here already. And what they're doing is, because he is coming, literally, physically, as a man at the end of the age, after the dragon is incarnate as a man too. So they're going to be released for that short time. But before they can be released, they have to be chained, and they're not even chained yet. That comes with the final trumpet, our trumpet, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, start at 51. It's the same one from 1 Thessalonians 4, start at verse 16. Our trumpet sounds, and Satan is chained. His minions, the members of his body, are all chained. Elijah shows up here. We are raptured. We're taken away just like Christ was. We're going to go away just like Christ was, and the Holy Spirit's going to come back. He's done with us. He's going to go back work with Elijah. Elijah's going to preach the gospel of the kingdom, just like Peter, John, and James. He's going to gather the late reigns bride, obeying the gospel of the kingdom. They're going to have the greatest kingdom this planet's ever seen for 3,000 years. And then Satan and his minions are going to start incarnating on the earth at the end of the age. And guess what they're going to do? They're going to mix together the gospel of the kingdom and Paul's gospel and start doing all this stuff again. They're not going to understand the differences between the gospel of the kingdom and the word of the cross like the people that start the age. There's going to be great deception, just like there is now. They're not going to know the difference in the two gospels, the two churches, the four baptisms. You get all that over there, videos and stuff on my website. So he's going to mix them all up and be selling false gospels and creating this body of Antichrist at the end of the age. And then they're the ones that are going to be destroyed when the black star comes. They're the ones that are going to have to run to the mountains like we're doing on this cycle, even though that we're going to be raptured. Go ahead.
Now, this next question has to do with the state of the earth and some of these things that people are reporting. For example, if you go on YouTube, you see a lot of people that are acting strange, taking their clothes off, running around the street, basically acting like they're possessed. And people will say, oh, that's a drug, that's bath salt, that's some kind of weird street chemical. Yet when they test these people, they find nothing. Add that to the fact that many people are seeing things like shadow beings, shadow spiders, shadow dogs, as well as all kinds of various aliens, reptilians, things like that. In your opinion, what's going on here? Are these demons overrunning the earth?
You're going to have a spectrum of answers. There's not going to be one right answer for that. The black star is having an influence. People are becoming more bipolar. The incidence of bipolar condition increased 40 times since 2003. The black star made magnetic portal connection to our planet about the time of the Schumann resonance change in 2004. So the black star is having a big influence. Our Earth is becoming bipolar, and people are microcosms, smaller versions of our planet. So the people with propensity are becoming dramatically more bipolar. People that never even had these symptoms are having them now. the earth is changing and the people are changing that are on it. It's kind of like the lunacy, the full moon, craziness. Mm-hmm. That's plainly obvious if you work in a hospital or a police station, or if you work with kids in school, then you can see around the full moon how crazy that things get. So this is a celestial object. It's another star. And our earth is attempting to maintain equilibrium. It's having difficulty doing that. And at the same time, people are having difficulty maintaining equilibrium. So when you get into my book, The Mystery Explained, it's going to get into the different planes that we're living on. It sounds like Six-Day Men stuff. It sounds like that it's Eastern religion, cultist kind of stuff. But it has a scriptural basis in the three witnesses, and you can get a little more understanding that you're living on more than one plane. You're living on a physical plane, obviously, an emotional plane, mental plane, intuitional plane, a spiritual plane, an esoteric, and an etheric plane. And men are more dominant on four of those planes, and women are more dominant on the other two, numbers 2, 4, and 6. The women, the intuition, women dominate that plane. Emotionally, they dominate. So men are more physical, mental. See, we've got our side. The reason is because women were taken out of men. A singularity, there's not supposed to be such thing as an angel. There's not supposed to be such thing as a man. They're supposed to be the same thing. The reason you have angels and men and women, three witnesses, is because the universe is broken. And that goes back to Genesis 1:1, the creation of the heavens and the earth. Heavens is the realm of the angels. Earth is the realm of men. But angels can't go to heaven any more than men can. Flesh and blood cannot inherit heaven because you have to be remarried to your angel half. Angel and the man got to be put back together, but before that, the woman's got to be put back inside. So the reason I said all that is because human beings are having difficulty maintaining equilibrium on these different levels of existence that we have access to without realizing it. Some of us have more access, we're more in tune psychically than others, and we have gifts that we can, and some of them we do not want to share with others because it makes us feel kind of crazy and strange. But now, with the change that's coming, with the change in the earth vibration, the raising that's happening, people are waking up psychically on different levels, and it's causing them to see things that maybe they're not even seeing with their physical eyes. They're seeing it with their etheric eyes. And on these different planes, some of that is going to be the answer to what's happening. So we're in a transition now. And whenever things transition fully, men are going to be superior than what they are now. They're going to live longer. And there's just going to be a big dramatic change. So through this transition period, you should expect anything that's going to happen. But also, you have extreme economic factors. And I don't just want to say this is all spiritual. It's extreme economic factors in the United States. You've had a worker displacement program that's been active for decades, that's been trying to separate you from your job using guest worker programs, using illegal alien foreign nationals. They're talking now about these sanctuary cities and stuff. This is part of a worker displacement agenda of the Council on Foreign Relations. They want to give your job. They want you to train a foreign national to do your job so you can be displaced. And you're going to work for less and less and less and less and less money. So this land of opportunity hasn't been that. There's been a shift. So now you're looking at the first and second generations of Americans that are not going to be better off than their parents. And with that, there's this big, gigantic feeling of dramatic frustration amongst the parents and amongst the children. They don't have any opportunities. They're living in their parents' basements, doing all kinds of things. And you've got all the liars telling us that everything's fine, there's plenty of jobs and all that, when it's not true. So you've got people living in somebody else's fantasy, in somebody else's lie, and their lives are being directly affected by it. And then they have moral fortitude. They have character. They don't want to be bad guys. They don't want to hurt people, but they're being pushed. And when people get pushed hard enough and far enough, then they begin acting out and doing things. They escalate. They get up to their magic number, whatever it is, and then they start acting out. And some of that is what you're seeing with this craziness that's going on here. So there's not going to be one answer, and you could probably do a show just on that right there and identify many triggers of what's causing this kind of behavior in our society right now, which is kind of – if you'd study history in Rome and Greek, then even Nebuchadnezzar, the Babylonians, then you're going to see this type of destruction of the moral fiber, character of the citizenry in the process. So this is what's happening. What we're going through right now in the United States is Rothschild's Fourth Reich. This is what he did to the Germans in World War II. And this is his program. We have FEMA camps. They had concentration camps. They had all their health, non-smoking, all this stuff that we have now. They had then. This is Rothschild, Fourth Reich right here. And the eugenics program is part of that. You have nanobots in your body right now from chemtrailing. And so it's the more that you understand and realize, you're going to realize this is a gigantic picture. And identifying a single cause for something is going to be kind of difficult. It's going to be multiple causes. But basically, the House of Rothschild is the head of the snake beguiling the world. They're running the eugenics programs right now. That's putting crap in your food. That's putting nanobots in your body. And it's a we've got a big. This sounds like it's off the topic, but it's not. We've got an epidemic in this country of Candida, C-A-N-D-I-D-A, fungal overgrowth in our systems. Whenever fungus, this is part of the death cycle. In more than half of the Americans, the death cycle is already activated. So whenever you get people that are in the death cycle, you have fungi that is rewiring your neural network to do bad behavior. Bacteria is supposed to set the baseline for your neural network to be wired. That's what determines your appetites and your behavior and things like that. Whenever the fungi in your body becomes activated, you get this new neural network rewiring, and then you have, instead of just having the bacteria on one shoulder telling you the good things to do, you've got the fungi on the other side, the death cycle, pushing you towards bad behavior, pushing you to use alcohol, pushing you to abuse yourself, because this is part of the death cycle. It's activated in most of the people. So you're going, if you Google apple cider vinegar or sodium borate, I made a video on the Candida outbreak. Then there's lots of information, made a lot of videos and a lot of information on that to help people get themselves back into a good position physically so that they can get themselves back in a good position emotionally and mentally to begin to get themselves in a good place of equilibrium where they can begin analyzing this information to even know what they're doing. Because in the shape that the typical American is in right now, he's in no position to be able to even do anything like that because of the environment, because of what the Rothschild eugenics is doing to us. That's the head of the snake. And you've probably covered the Federal Reserve, giant central bank. It's privately owned. And that's the reason for the war in the Middle East, because Rothschild is trying to establish central banks in every nation on the planet. Nothing to do with oil. Nothing to do with politics either. This is Rothschild getting what he wants.
Oh, yeah. I'm right there with you about the Rothschilds. And I don't. Yeah. I say this with no disrespect towards the real Jewish people out there, but it talks about the false Jews in the Bible.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah. The Israel is God's chosen people. For sure. The question is, chosen for what? They are chosen to be a nation of priests. Priests. They're an example. In the patterns of the tabernacle and the temple are teachings about the universe, about this earth, about people. The two veils that are there are the same two veils that are in you and in me. The first one separates my body from my soul. The second one separates my soul from my spirit. My body is laid out in the same template as the tabernacle and the temple, and it's the same exact blueprint that scripture is written under. Once you can see the pattern, that's there. Right? So people get more information on that at tarotlove3.com in my book, The Mystery Explained. But these principles carry through to everything. And that's why I say my roots are in scripture. That's where my foundation is. And then my different research projects included the Candida. It includes artificial intelligence, the Rothschilds, the real world government, the shadow government out of the Council on Foreign Relations, and all this stuff. So it puts me in a little better position and perspective to be able to run these investigations, to recognize what a PSYOP is and the false 9/11 movement, the false Planet X movement, and things like that. So I hope that people benefit from the information. I hope that they can wake up, that there is definitely something coming from space that is going to change everything. And like I said, get more information at tarotlove3.com. Everything is free. And I have a weekly radio show, the Black Star Updates, Black Star Thursday at Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, every Thursday, 4 to 5. And if you go there and show up at the chat room, then you can get free links to the newsletter. Or you can go to my YouTube channel, Terrell Black Star, and in the Thursday update reports, go to the description box, and you can download the weekly newsletter there and get access to the information to get yourself on a good footing so that you can start making decisions about what's really happening all around us and what you really need to do to prepare. Go ahead.
I did want to ask you how you feel about the current president of the United States, Donald J. Trump.
I was pretty excited whenever he was running against Hillary. Hillary becoming the president would have been catastrophic, obviously. So I wanted him to win. But the day that he got elected, I really stopped following him. I really do not expect him to be able to overcome the Council on Foreign Relations, the chairman, their working groups, their agenda, everything that they're doing. So I wish him a lot of luck, but the worker displacement agenda is going to continue. There's still going to be 1.5 million foreign nationals brought into this country every year to displace Americans from their jobs, even though they don't have jobs for Americans. That's going to happen under the H-1B visa program and all. You know, all there's over 25 guest worker programs. There's thousands of people inside the United States using the same Social Security number, for example. Very easy to catch if we wanted to. The Immigration Reform and Control Act of 1986 is the law of the land. And it says that assisting an illegal alien, giving transport to an illegal alien, aiding and abetting is a 5-year felony. And these laws are not being enforced. They're not going to be enforced by Donald Trump either. But he's going to put on a good show. But as soon as you heard him talking about a wall, you should have known that everything he was saying was fake. You do not need a wall. All you need to do is enforce our laws. Put the people into jail that are hiring them. They are guilty of 5-year felonies for each count. Put them into prison. Take away their business licenses, and everybody hiring illegals will drop the hot potatoes. These people will self-deport themselves. They're going to go back to wherever they came from and come in the front door is what they should do. It's going to create more jobs for the people that don't have jobs and put people back to work immediately. But Donald Trump is not doing that, is he? No. He's doing this wall thing. Almost half of the people that come into this country illegally come here and overstay their visas. It just means that 75% of the people are going to come and overstay their visas because they have no trouble writing these visas, millions of them, and letting all these people in. Nobody polices who leaves because the whole system is corrupt, including, I hate to say it, Donald J. Trump. If he's going to really fix the system, he's going to start with the Social Security Department, the Social Security Administration, and he's going to get everybody that's misusing your Social Security number. If there's 1,000 of them, 999 of them are going to be in trouble. They're going to be prosecuted. And the people that created the false documentation. So there's a gigantic CIA operation in this country running guns, false documentation, slave trade, money laundering, you name it. It's being run by the CIA to tell you how corrupt that the place is. So they, at the beginning in the old days, they infiltrated to try to control and manage. But now they realize, holy cow, this is how we can make our budget. And that's what's going on around the world right now. So with that type of corruption, we're talking – all these guys know about the 9/11 inside job, and none of them are saying anything, right? What makes you think they're going to tell the truth about any of this other stuff? All they have is a series of lies. If you want to go back to Abraham Lincoln, JFK, both were murdered by the House of Rothschild over currency creation. Same thing. The same as Osama bin Laden. The same as Gaddafi. They were all killed for the same reason by the same people. But nobody's making the connection. Right? It's all by the House of Rothschild over currency creation. And he's willing to kill everybody to get what he wants and in doing that. So House of Rothschild, definitely the head of the snake that's the guy in the world. And then go ahead.
Yeah, I did want to kind of draw things to a close, but I do want to give you an opportunity to go ahead and if you want to get back on the soapbox one more time, or if you'd like to plug anything or talk about whatever you want, go ahead and use this opportunity right now, Terrell.
Okay, I appreciate it. The name of the website is terral03.com. Lots of information there. It's just a little simple website. Lots of information, though. And a lot of people say my recent interview with George Norrie was good. There's a link there on the site where you can listen to that. That was on from March the 6th. And then whenever you get a hold of one of those emails, I'm sorry, one of those newsletters, you can go down to the bottom. There's a radio section. Then some of those at the top there, Steve Olson interviewed me a couple times, and the Leak Project, they interviewed me. You're going to get some presentations that are visual where I'm using solar system scope and Earthquake 3D and showing you the patterns and things like that. That's something that you're going to want to do too to get more information. Like I said, everything at terral03.com is free. You can go to my radio show, Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, every Thursday. and just ask for the link, and I post it for you in the chat room to the weekly newsletters. And then whenever you're ready, whenever you want to be a newsletter subscriber, support the research, then you click the button at carolo3.com. $25 per year is all it is for a newsletter subscription, and that gives you access to my upgraded book. What you get at the carolo3.com is the rough draft version. The polished version is in the Dropbox folder. So you get a Dropbox folder with all the newsletters, and you can download what you want. It's a researcher's dream, really. Accumulation of we've got CIA information in there. We've got NSA, covert op information on the use of nanobots in humans since the 1970s, for example. And things given to me by Deacon John. He's from Liberation Nation radio show over at Revolution Radio. And the Nighthawk, the owner, he's a HAARP specialist, military guy. He sent me a lot of information. So you get access to that in the 2017 Dropbox folder. And then when you want to be a member of the Survivor Group program, you want to meet like-minded survivalists, threat assessment information, connect with over 200 families in the United States in the Ozark Survivor Group program, then there's a subscribe button there. It's $45 per year to subscribe to that. So it's $25 for just a newsletter, $45 for the advanced Survivor Group program, and that's pretty much it. That's what I wanted to share with you today.
Okay, great. I did want to thank you one more time for coming on, and I definitely want to catch up with you again in the future, see if you're investigating anything new, or just catch up as we head into these end of days.
Okay. Yeah, if you want to have one on the scripture, the three witnesses, or on 9/11, or on Project Black Star, those are my three majors. But there's a lot of other areas that we want to go to. Just send me that email, and then we can talk about any of these three. That's all right on the top of my head.
Sure, and I'd like to get into the survival stuff.
But if it's one of these
stuff,
other projects, I might have to brush up on some of the information before we start going over it.
Sure, and I'd like to perhaps go a little bit more into the survival stuff, too, because that's particularly interesting to me and my listeners.
Very, very good. I'd love to do that with you.
All right, Terrell, you enjoy the rest of your day, my friend.
Thank you very much.
All right. That was so fascinating. So very fascinating. I want to do what we usually do at this time and take a short break. So if you'll bear with me, I'm going to play a little bit of music for our live audience. And then I will be back here and we will bring things to a close. I got a few things I want to talk about, including the end of day. So stay tuned. And hello and welcome back. I had like three or four songs that I wanted to play for you guys, but I'm sitting here and I'm realizing that I'm basically just waiting for the songs to end. And there's two more of them. I'm sorry. I want to get back on air. I got things to talk about. I got things to do. First thing, hold on, let me get comfortable. That's the spot. Okay, first thing that I want to talk about is religion. I know a lot of you guys are very adamantly, a lot of you are very pro-religious, a lot of you are very Christian, some of you are Jewish, some of you are Islamic, or Muslim, I'm sorry. I know that you guys come from a whole different variety of backgrounds, and I welcome any of those types of belief systems on this show. I'm not gonna be biased against any particular group because I don't fully believe in what they believe or because people are gonna get mad. So no matter what type of topic it is or what type of speaker is coming on, I'm gonna listen to them because everybody's got a little piece of this puzzle. So please keep an open mind. And I know a lot of you guys were raised Christian and you hear stuff about the Bible or about Jesus and you get really angry. And I feel that way myself sometimes. I had Christianity forced on me as a child, and I went through a stage where I was absolutely opposed to anything Christian. But as I got older, I started to kind of get over it. I started to realize how petty and small that mindset was, and that there's actually a lot of truth and wisdom in the Bible, in the Christian Bible, and there's a lot of truth and wisdom in the Hindu religion or the Native American religions or the Eastern religions like Buddhism. Every religion is good to me, as opposed to I hate religion, blah, blah, blah. You know, there's some bad elements to organized religion, but hey, these are ancient texts. These are spiritual beliefs. Let's not throw the baby out with the bathwater. That's all that I ask. Oh boy. And I suppose one of the big questions is how do we know if something's true? Like, a lot of information comes through the show, comes down the pipeline, and there's things that conflict, there's things that don't add up, things seem to change a lot. What I like to do is I just listen to my heart. If my heart and my inner world tells me that it's true, then I will accept it as true if it rings true. Because if it's ringing true, then my brain subconsciously is processing this thing as logical. So I listen to my heart. I don't really listen to my head. There's so much mind control out there that I've pretty much taken a can opener and opened up the top of my skull, taken my brain out and thrown it in the trash. That's about how much respect I have for it. I don't believe my own thoughts much of the time. And I don't believe anything that I see in media, because I know that there is this mind control thing going on. And I know everything down to our own daily lives sometimes gets controlled. And we could argue all day about how deep this control is or how shallow it is, but I fully believe in it. And I think our guest made a really good point earlier about the Antichrist. You see, we have a Christ consciousness that has been with us since this being Jesus or whoever came before or after him. We've had this Christ consciousness. It makes perfect sense to me that there's an Antichrist consciousness. In fact, that makes more sense to me than the Roman guy with the curly hair that's a dictator of the world. That sounds more fantastical to me. But who knows, right? We'll get there eventually. I think it was Nostradamus that said that the actual end of the world is still 1,000 years off. And he's been pretty good with his predictions. And I think that would probably fall in line with what a lot of our guests actually said earlier. I heard him use that term 1,000 years quite a bit. So there are crossovers between a lot of these belief systems, and I think we should pay attention to that stuff anytime we see that crossover, because how are these people getting this information? You know, if we want to take the completely scientific, materialistic perspective, we can. We can say, oh, it's all fake. None of it's true. The only thing true is this plate of pancakes in front of me. That's the only thing that's true. And I can get that. I get that a lot of people only want to believe what they see with their eyes, what they hear with their ears. And I totally understand that, because nobody likes being lied to. Nobody likes being deceived. And there are so many lies going on out there. They say Satan is the prince of lies. And they say that Satan would rather appear as a beautiful woman rather than some disgusting creature with horns on his head and wings on his back and cloven hoof and cloven feet. Can you imagine having cloven feet? I'm sure that would get you a lot of attention at the local heavy metal club, right? You'd be very goth. Some of those chicks that wear the white makeup and the black lipstick would be really into you if you had cloven feet. Oh boy. You know, I love doing this show. I was going back and I was listening to old episodes, and I'm not saying this to toot my horn or talk myself up or pat myself on the back, and I'm not saying this out of insecurity. I'm saying this because I believe it. This show is the best, period. It is the best. It is the best in the world. It's the greatest paranormal radio show on the radio in the world. And I think part of that reason is because this is not a paranormal show. This show is about magic. This show is about magic, and it always has been. This isn't a show like Coast to Coast. This isn't a show like anything else. It's completely different. It's completely original. So remember that. This is a show about magic. Oh, boy. I do have a couple letters from listeners. This is going to be a little bit of a short show because, as some of you know, I'm doing, 4 shows this week? And I only got so much in the tank. So we've already gone, almost a couple hours. So I do want to keep it kind of short, but I don't want to cheat you guys out of the awesomeness of the show either. So I do have a couple letters from fans that I want to read. And keep sending these, by the way. Just go to endofdaysradio.com, click About Me. You can get my email off of there. You can email me whatever questions, concerns, or comments. If you don't want it read on the air, please explicitly state that you do not want it written on the air. Or if you donate to the show, of course, let me know to not give you that shout out at the end of the show. Like I said, I'm doing those shout outs for anybody that donates just to show my gratitude, to show you guys that I really appreciate it, and to show you guys this isn't about making money or anything. This is like PBS, it's public broadcasting. Okay, so anyways, first question. Dear Daniel, this comes from Amadeus. Dear Daniel, why did you drop the idea of using video with your show? I was looking forward to that. Okay, good question. And Amadeus, if that's your real name, thank you for actually finally writing me a serious question, as opposed to these questions about sex organs and animals and stuff like that. Thank you for sending me a real question finally. So why did I not decide to go the video route? Okay, so there's a lot of reasons. I've thought this through quite a bit. The first is that I am not exactly blown away by the video podcasting thing. You know, you'll see a video on YouTube and they'll have a person pulled up on the Skype camera, or they'll use another program, whatever. And what I've come to find is it's completely boring. I'll look at the person for 2 seconds, and then I'll actually close that window, and then I'll start playing a PC game, or I'll start working on something, or I'll start lifting weights, or, you know, I'll do other things. So I'm not watching the video. And if I'm not watching the video, why am I going to put time and energy into something that people are going to look at for 2 seconds and decide that it's just two boring bobbleheads and then, you know, tune out and listen, but do other stuff? A lot of people don't even use YouTube to listen to the show. They use their phones. They get it off of iTunes, Google Play, et cetera, and they're not going to see the video. So why put something out there that everybody's not going to be able to see? And then they're going to be thinking, oh, you held up that picture for everybody to see, or I wanted to see what David Sarita's hair looked like that day, and I was not able to see it. So you get what I'm saying? Like, I want to have the same experience for everybody. And I don't want this to be something that you have to sit there and stare at for hours and hours. We got enough of that shit in society. This is something that you can listen to while you're working out or while you're at work. This is a show for people driving to work and when they're at work. So I want to maintain that. I want you to be able to listen to the show, listen to me while you're flipping your pancakes or performing heart surgery or cleaning dogs or whatever it is you do for a living. I have a respect for all professions out there. And whatever you're doing, I appreciate if you're listening to this show, whether you are the guy cleaning up the poop at the zoo, or you are some famous lawyer or judge or something like that. Everybody's the same to me, and I appreciate you all so very much for listening. Okay, so this one's weird. This comes from a listener named Peter, and thank you, Peter, for sending this. And if you want to send me things that aren't paranormal, occult related, that's fine. I try to keep it a little bit more in that area, but if you want to send me just general life questions, I guess that's okay. This says, Dear Daniel. It doesn't say Dear Daniel, but I'm saying Dear Daniel at the start of these anyways. Dear Daniel, I've been chasing this girl for 14 years. What should I do? Ooh, Peter, pumpkin eater. What are you doing, my friend? I'm going to go ahead and tell you to stop doing that, because that's a big chunk of your life, my friend. And I'm willing to bet if there was any chance of that happening, it would have happened by now. And then there's the fact that whoever this person is, okay, it's a girl. You're not a gay bro. So it's a girl. So I'm willing to bet that this girl is being more pushed away by what you're doing, because you are obviously showing her all this time and interest. And I mean, it's been 14 years. If she doesn't appreciate that enough to reciprocate those feelings back to you in that amount of time, then there's probably something really wrong with that. I'm not saying that she's a bad person or you're dumb or anything like that. It's just that it's an unhealthy situation. I'm willing to bet she doesn't want you doing that. Or maybe she does. Maybe she enjoys the attention you're giving her. Maybe she likes having you there for a friend, et cetera, et cetera. There's nothing wrong with that. But you can't be sitting there having this one person in your mind, because you are going to get all your time stolen away. You're going to get your life stolen away from you, and you are going to have this state of, you're going to have this negative feedback loop of bad self-esteem by constantly reflecting the idea of yourself in regards to what this person thinks of you. So you're going to be stuck in that negative sort of situation for a really long time. And you're going to start believing it more and more. It's going to keep affecting your self-esteem. So that's why we don't want to do that. We don't want to give all of our time and energy chasing after this one person. You don't want to dedicate your whole life to chasing after this one person. It's not a good idea. And it's not that I don't believe in things like true love, or I don't believe you should go for it if you really feel strongly about somebody. It's more that as an outsider, I can see that this person just isn't into you. They're just not into you for whatever reason. And geez, I mean, 14 years, how many relationships have you passed up because you're chasing after this person? How many great opportunities for real relationships where you are involved with somebody that actually gets excited about you? How many times did you miss out on that? So, Peter, in my opinion, you are hurting yourself. This is some kind of self-deprecating sort of negative loop that you've got yourself into. And I would actually, I'm not saying that this is true, but you did write this letter to End of Days Radio. I would be very aware of any sort of parasitic, demonic, alien element here, because this is kind of what they do. They like to put people in situations where they have these negative feedback loops, the psychological stuff that just keeps hurting them and hurting them. And they're actually able to feed off of this energy that you are outputting that's not being reciprocated by another person. They're actually able to feed on this. So you're going to want to keep an eye out for that. I'm not saying that's what this situation is, but it's just another reason to not let yourself get caught up in anything like this, because these astral, extra-dimensional elements, they can really take advantage of it, and they can use it to really break you down and get you to a point where you just don't believe in yourself at all. So, you know, however you feel about this person, that's your choice, that's your feelings, and I completely respect that, and I'm not judging it. I'm not saying you're stupid because you feel that way. If anything, that's quite commendable that you would have that inside of yourself, that great capacity to love somebody. But it's being tricked and it's being used against you. And you got to see that. You got to use that discernment. You got to listen to your heart and you got to do what's right for you. You got to love yourself just as much as you love this person. You got to love yourself because, hey, at the end of the day, you're sort of stuck with you. I'm not saying you can't get in a great relationship and have somebody there that's there with you for many years. But at the end of the day, I mean, even this person you're with has got to deal with you. And if you don't love yourself, you're going to make them miserable too. So just keep that in mind. I'm not telling you what to do. I would never tell you what to do because I don't know all. I am just a man. I am just the Dan. I am just sitting here with my dick in my hand. I'm just kidding. Don't freak out. Don't freak out by my dirty mouth. I do want to talk a little bit about the schedule. We've got Neil Sanders coming on this Saturday. And I want to do a special soon, too. I've got the Michael Jackson special that I'm planning. I got a Michael Jackson special. The goal there is to really vindicate Michael Jackson once and for all. So basically, I'm assembling a team of people from around the world. I'm going to get the best of the best, the biggest and most knowledgeable Michael Jackson fans from around the world. And we're going to get together and we're going to combine our powers and we're going to prove to the world that Michael Jackson was innocent. We're going to clear his name once and for all. And if you feel like Michael Jackson was a pedophile or something like that, I'm just going to ask you to keep an open mind. Just like I asked you to keep an open mind about a lot of these other topics, because there's some good information coming down the pipeline. And I really want to make this something special. Also, I do want to do a show with no guests again. We haven't really done that for a while. And I want to, you know, do a little, not necessarily in open lines, but probably some sort of theme special, not about Michael Jackson. That's coming in the future. That's going to take a lot of time, but something that gives an opportunity for you guys to really take part in the show again. But I'm still looking at different themes. I don't want to just do an open lines. To me, that's boring. I hear open lines on Coast all the time, other programs. That's kind of boring. So I want to do it, but have more of a theme and still bring some people on and have a little bit more structure to the show. So we'll see what happens there. I do have some ideas. I just don't want to announce what the show's about until I'm sure. And then on top of that, we got a lot of different guests coming down the pipeline, a lot of people I'm talking to, really excited about this interview I just did now, as well as yesterday's interview with Harold Kotzvella about the black goo and the slime. I think all of this stuff kind of relates together, so we're keeping with something of a theme. Also, for those of you that are into the Ninja Shoes Pro Wrestling and Mixed Martial Arts podcast, I will be doing something in regards to that soon. I know that that show has been kind of stagnant for a little while, so just stay tuned to that. I've got big plans for WrestleMania. I don't like to talk about pro wrestling and sports and stuff like that on this show, but that is coming up. That's a big event, so I want to do something kind of planned around that a little bit, and I've also got a guy coming on the show to talk about the Wanderlei Silva and Chael Sonnen fight that's coming up. But sorry to you guys that hate that stuff. I know that I promised I wouldn't talk about it on here. Other than that, you guys know the drill, endofdaysradio.com. That's where you can catch up on everything End of Days Radio. Subscribe as well. Check out our guest, his website and information. If you have any sort of funny bit or anything you'd like me to play on air, remember to leave me a message on Skype. That's 209-348-9810. Also, that's NinjaShoes777 on Skype, NinjaShoes777. And if you want to, you know, if you want to just record anything that's original and funny for the show, if it's a song, if you want to make fun of me or anybody else, that's perfectly fine. If you want me to play your music on the show, we're still doing that. Looking for original music. I want to help you guys get exposure as well as have something to play during the break. So I'd much rather use that time to help out somebody that's struggling to get their music heard rather than play stuff off of YouTube. And shout out to Al for providing us with some of his music. We'll play some more of that in the future as well. And shout out to all the listeners out there. Shout out to all of you guys. Love you guys. Thank you for listening. It just keeps getting better and better and better. Can't wait to hear what this show sounds like in a year, if I'm not dead by then. If the CIA or the NSA hasn't shot me in the head or put me in some sort of prison cell. Just me, naked, alone with a reptilian. Hopefully nothing like that will happen. Just me alone with a bucket of black goo. Oh, boy. Okay, anyways, thank you, guys. And I will see you back here Saturday for our show with Neil Sanders. And we'll go the full 4 hours, 3-4 hours. So don't worry, the show is not becoming shorter. It is just because we're doing 4 shows this week. It's practically daily. But it proves that I can handle it. So that's kind of cool, too. All right, you guys. I'll see you Saturday. Have a good night.
Winter's coming.
The king has returned
from the broken ruins of Babylon. This is the end of days.